Good morning, LinkedIn friends, Value First Nation. Welcome to another episode of Value First AI Daily, your collaborative intelligence report here with Mr. Nico Alifakis. It is Wednesday, August 6th, 2025.
Isn't it?
In the middle of another product drop week, apparently, Nico.
I mean, a little bit, right? Just a little bit of a product drop week. It's been nuts, right? Like we talk about how fast this stuff happens. Here we go. Out of nowhere yesterday. And what was funny is that it just trickled throughout the day. So this stuff seemingly is just like sitting on shelves and they just kind of wait, pull levers whenever they feel like, hey, now's a good time. So yeah, we got Genie 3 from Google, which is, two out of the three, utterly amazing. Third one, not anything to throw shade at. So Genie 3, utterly amazing. Opus 4.1 from Anthropic. Again, nothing to shake a stick at. Definitely an increase. If you look at where, so people who might say like, well, it's 4 to 4.1. What's the big deal? We're talking about like, talking about super high orders of intelligence. So a 0.1 is a big deal. It's not nothing. Okay. What's nice is that the 0.1 is very representative of like how much more than just Opus 4. So there is greater accuracy. The level of coding obviously is even higher than Opus. Level of coding accuracy is higher. And it's not even coding accuracy. Now we're, you know, that's got out the window. It's like, oh, well, it's software engineering accuracy level. It's like, oh, cool. Sweet. I think software engineering level, I want to say on this one is like 67% or 68%, something like that, where Opus 4 was like 60s, like low 60s. So again, a 0.1 increase. That's to me, like going from like 62 to 67% and calling that a 0.1. That sounds about right. You know, that definitely works out. So, the biggie was the open source models, should say open weight models from OpenAI. I got two of them. And the really big news there is, yes, they're open weight models. And yeah, you can now go use GPT for free, which is utterly insane. But the one model, okay, it's like a 120 billion parameter model. I want to say, and there's so much coming out of this. That one's, you know, obviously going to get like more business, university, like you need a little bit heavier weight stuff to run that. I want to say they said what, like 80 gigs worth of GPU memory. So it's a lot. It's not a server farm worth, right? Like a business could swing 80 gigs. That's not a big deal. On a personal level, on the smaller model, it's a 20 billion parameter model, runs on a 16 gig GPU. So you can run it at home. So that's what I'm going to do today, is I'm going to install the small parameter model, start playing around with that, because why not? It's, I think, something like 3x faster in response time at an O3 level of reasoning. So all of my agents... Yeah, I'd like, honestly, I just got this new PC, like not even maybe 2 months ago, tops, and just in time. And with the 5070 in it and everything. Like
about to put it through its paces.
Yep.
Seen some posts about people trying their hand at localizing this experience. Some wins, some losses. It's a crazy week, and we're still expecting 5 at some point soon, right?
I mean, I'm sure it's going to be Friday, if not, I don't know. Like Sam's like that, right? Where he's just like, yeah, whatever, just drop it. And it's so great. Like, I love that these guys have smashed down this barrier of like, well, we have to have proper release dates and we got to line things up. Marketing's got to be on board and sales has to, and we got to do this. No, just fucking drop it. Like, whenever, right? Like, that has made a much greater impact than any sort of planned drop dates, right? Yeah. And these guys have done a really great job of, I wouldn't even say getting away with it. They just know it. Like I said, these things seem to be ready in the background and it's just a matter of like pulling levers. It's not really so much a matter of like, oh, well, we have to get it done on XYZ date, right? That's the other joy. And like, why can they do that? Why can they get away with that? Why does it not affect them? Nonprofits, hands off, cannot touch them. Okay. So again, like this whole thing of like, well, you know, just trying to be greedy and money and all sorts of stuff. Not that I can see. Greedy, the greediest AI company in the world just gave away nearly its top level model for free. Don't know how that's greedy. Yeah. Nobody was like, I mean, people weren't necessarily, I gotta say, I gotta eat my own words on it. I wasn't really expecting it. I thought that they, especially after the whole like, things are too dangerous. Maybe we do need to keep a lid on it. Even Sam said, like, I don't know because it's getting a little crazy out there and like, you know, letting people see what the weights are. Like, that's going to be a problem. Supposedly they put as much time as they could, I guess. I'm sure there's still some like barriers of restriction they could put on. I hope, now that it's been released, maybe. I think that was, see, I don't think that's the case. Like, the weights is the, technically, I don't know that it's the secret sauce, but it's part of the, it's a major ingredient of the secret sauce. And that's the thing you can't take back. So once you've shown people like, hey, here's how we did the distributions to get to where this model is, that's it. You've shown it. Like, there's no, oh, we'll just go take it back and then, or we'll change it, or we'll tell them we lied. Like, no, it's, that's it. So.
Yeah. Like the blueprints.
Yes.
Right.
Very much so.
And the blueprints that they spent lots of time and money and effort into training to get there. Yeah, man. That's what I mean by in my post for this episode is about like, yeah, you could see this as competition where it's like, oh, they're dropping, so we gotta drop, and like, or like this is forward progress and it's like if it's ready we're shipping it.
Yep.
Since we're all testing against each other, we know when you're going to be ready. Like, literally, I didn't think about that at all when the news about Anthropic, you know, cutting off OpenAI because they're benchmarking 5. It's like clear as day, like they probably know exactly that it's how ready it is. Yep. Like, because it's, and that's the thing. It's like, we could either hide behind the scarcity mindset of like, oh, it's got to be this day for this reason. And we got to create, you know, the buzz, and we can't do that until there's enough buzz and enough people are in line. And like every day you delay this stuff, I mean, it's going to get worse and worse when you delay it for no reason. When you ship it as soon as it's ready, like every moment it's out there is another set of training data, right? Because we hear a lot about when models come out, it's like, oh yeah, the benchmarks, awesome. It's doing shit for me right now. Like, and that's because like, they're building to a test a little bit with the benchmarks, but also it's just like learning in school versus learning in the real world. Like, theoretical data does not always match practical data, especially when you're dealing with humans. Like, we do crazy shit. Like, and like, it takes time, not as much as other humans, or the real world, to learn from those human choices. AI is learning faster and faster, but the fact that it all learns together, I mean, like your story before we went live about windsurf, right? Like, share what you were saying about that. Like, so update in the foundational LLM of Claude to 4.1. Yep. Now, that impacts another surface like Windsurf.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about how software is now wrappers. You're wrapped on top of whatever's underneath, right? And it's just like there's nothing has changed. Software currently wraps around a technology. You just don't think about it because no one owns it. Software is utterly dependent upon internet. It has to have internet. It's not only dependent upon internet, it's dependent upon particular type of internet. In other words, you're not running, you ain't running HubSpot on dial-up, baby, right? But you probably could code some like 8-bit, you know, POS to run on it. That's something like it that uses whatever. So right now you got Windsurf, you got all these other companies, and you've got Claude Code, and it's pretty good. But Cursor and Windsurf, like, again, they're like very obviously like code specific, code heavy, and they kind of want to just own that space very particularly. And even more so, they want to compete on a higher level, which means they have to compete on a software engineering level as opposed to just a regular coding level. So they have their own model, right? GitHub has give it up. They used to have their own model, and I've seen it kind of just fall off the bench. Cursor has its own model still, and it's not bad. Windsurf's model is called SWE 1. So it is Software Engineer 1. Like, that's it is. They aren't sugarcoating it. They're not trying to bullshit. They're just like, no, we're building a software engineer auto, like, agent. Okay? So, like, you know, agent, like, OpenAI has their codex, and OpenAI has agent, and, like, agent's all right. You wouldn't use that for coding, I wouldn't think. But codex is really good, but it's software engineer level. It's not, like, vibe coder level. We bridged the gap between codex and vibe coding with like normal models in 3 months. Right. And so for a little bit, it was SWE 1 was out and it was really good. I hadn't used Windsurf in months. And then I just played around with SWE 1 because I was building something and it was getting very complicated. And I'm like, well, I wonder if this model can do it. Aced it in just one shot. And then I looked at the usage rate and it was ridiculous. Like how much I had done and how little it meant on the usage rate. So I was like, all right, forget it. So I just, you know, dropped a dime on it. And it's like, all right, well, we'll figure out the costs later. And start building with it. And it was just miraculous in terms of how much I was able to get done, like so much faster than what I was doing with not throwing shade. It is what it is. It's the nature of the beast. Like I was absolutely just enthralled with this versus Replit. Right. And it's got nothing to do with like, one versus the other, who's a better coder, this, that, or the other. I'm still using Windsurf to do the coding, and then it's still going up to the repo and coming over to Replit because it's still hosted there and deployed there anyway. So I'm still in tandem. It's not like I'm using one over the other because like if I just go Windsurf, I don't have the storage. So SWE goes away. SWE goes away, I go back to Replit. That's just the way that it is. Not that Windsurf doesn't have access to like higher end models, it does. But I have experienced both through GitHub Copilot and Windsurf that when you're using those, just because you have the ability to use higher end models, doesn't mean that you should, and it also doesn't mean that you should swap out either. I've had some terrible experience with that. So Opus 4.1 drops. Log into Windsurf yesterday. Lo and behold, SWE's back. So my only assumption is that, and it's free currently, like the use of the SWE model. So like that's why I've been doing so much with it. If you looked at my Windsurf like usage rate, I think the SWE model is like insanely higher than every other model in terms of like how much usage. And it's, I mean, for very good reason, in my opinion. But yeah, I think like as soon as now that that's back, I'm absolutely gonna just use as much of that as possible, until they take it back away from being free. But that's the way it's gonna go forward. I mean, GPT-5 is, probably going to drop this week, right? So I don't know what, you know, that means anybody else's underlying model gets upgraded. And I don't know if that means that, like, SWE changes its underlying to be, like, I don't think that's the case, right? Like, they're hand in hand now. So I'm pretty sure that Windsurf just has to kind of use whatever Anthropic's giving them, I think. I don't know how that works, right? They still have to offer the other models. So in the dropdown, you're still going to see GPT-5 at some point. Given how good the, like, I haven't heard rave reviews about Codex. I'll say that much. I do need to go and do some investigation this week and just see, like, what people are saying about it and, like, is it really as good? One of the things in the back of my mind that keeps bothering me is, like, I haven't had the same experience with coding with GPT that I hear people on YouTube having. I don't know anybody personally who's had that great, like, a coding experience using GPT either. Now, I do have amazing experience with, you know, Hub Helper Harry. Different story. Like, it's, you know, customized to be able to handle that code. But just in general, like, even using, you know, for 04 mini high, you know, switching up back and forth, I don't know. It's just not quite there. There's not the advantage. And I'll tell you this much. I don't hate to say it. I'm glad to be able to say it at this point. But one of the top competitors out there that nobody is talking about, but will be, it sucks. They would be talking about it this week if GPT-5 wasn't releasing. Gemini Gems. Like, Gemini Gems, something happened there in the last month, and those things are sharp. Oh my God, they are sharp. Like, if the information you put in, if you ask for something that's not in there, it will just automatically tell you, I don't know, because it's not in the knowledge. Like, it doesn't even remotely try to flub on anything. It's just like, yeah, I know whatever you put in me, and that's what we're going to use, right? So Gems for coding has been amazing, to the point where I'm working on the web version of Harry, and that's a hell of a wrapper, right? I don't know who to put under that thing at this point. I'm not entirely sure. Like, and it will likely end up being a case that will be very much like HubSpot, where, you know, if you're asking Harry to do certain like strategic stuff, it's probably going to leverage an OpenAI model. If you're asking it to do coded stuff, depending on what the coded stuff is, it might leverage Gemini 2.5. It might leverage Claude. I think the way I would work it, to be honest with you, is like, if it was doing open general coding, then it would be a Claude model. But if it was doing, like, HubSpot specific stuff, then it would probably be a Gemini model. But I don't know. It is getting kind of crazy. I'm really excited for GPT-5. I'm just really super excited for it. And what I hope is not going to be the case is that it is available for pro only first. Cause I really don't feel like dropping $200 just for a demo. I mean, I'll use it obviously, but like, man, stop doing that. That's the only thing that's really kind of getting to me is like the top tier stuff now. Right. And like, oh, we release all the new stuff to the top tier. We don't release it to like paid tier. And it's like, really? I guess. I don't know. But, like, I ended up finding out that apparently I'm in the 5% bucket as I tested it yesterday as well. And still planning to wind down that quad plan.
Oh, man.
We'll see. They'll probably drop, like, what, Sonnet 4.5 or something by the end of August, and then all of a sudden I'll be signed back up.
Yeah. Now,
and everybody can do, AI. So here's what's odd to me. And I don't know how you view this. I wanted to get your opinion on this. Google, you can build your own app and you can embed Gemini. Anthropic, you can build your own app and you can embed Claude. OpenAI, you can kind of, and I'm not joking. I'm really not. I have used all three. I've used all three with like the same prompt. I've done this benchmark test like so many times. OpenAI fails almost every single time. I'll give it a prompt to build an app. It'll try to build it. Inevitably, it will come back with some error that it will just trip over again and again and again. And maybe one day it'll finally work. And when it does, the app will look like shit. Design wise, GPT not so good. What throws me though is not only is it not so great at that, it doesn't have the capability to embed the AI like in the app that you create. So my question is, how do you view OpenAI in the overall race? Considering like other people's model features are now sort of surpassing, right? Like, and I do realize that once five drops, like, I guess to me, it's getting to a point where like, it's now kind of blurry as to like, who's really in front. It's just kind of like, who has the latest thing now?
Yeah. I still think it's just a different goals, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I've ever said it out loud like this, but, like with their focus on, agent GPT and the device that comes out, I think he just wants to remove the application layer like altogether. Like, don't build apps if you can just talk to your AI buddy and things happen, right? Like, mm-hmm. This world of not using user interfaces and computer interfaces to interact and get things done. Like, yeah, consumer, like lay person, we got it. Like, don't worry about it. Just tell the thing what you want. And maybe it builds an app. Maybe it knows which app to go do, like to go access, which API to access. Like, and that's, so that makes sense to me. I haven't done any like hard thinking about it, but like his goal is to put, at least my understanding, is to put this new intelligence layer mm-hmm. and value in the hands of as many human beings as possible while making yep. sure it is valuable for them. And that's where like any kind of lift the human has to do to make the thing work will get in the way of that. So it doesn't surprise me that he's streamlining for the things that it will do for you instead of helping you build things for other people.
Yep.
Right. Or for yourself. That's not like, that's not just another instruction or another version of the chat, right? Like custom GPTs.
Yeah.
So that's where it's like, yeah, get it, everybody. Like, go your separate ways. Like, that's the fun part, right? Like, they're all building yeah. on the same foundation. It's crystal clear at this point. Like, if you cannot, that's what the vertical is, folks. Like, they're all building on this foundation that never gets worse. Like, it's never going to go backwards. And even as they run into constraints, let's say energy or GPUs or data centers or whatever, they will innovate around and through and over those constraints. Like, it is on this path. And it's like, can we help you get on board? Like,
and it's like the on board part is more than just like, hey, use this technology, like, and get used to using this technology. We've been trying to explain to you guys that this change, the greatest difficulty of this change is your mentality. It's not just like a technical, oh, well, once you know how to use the technology, you're good. I've been seeing like more and more now that everybody's waking up to it, which is better late than never. I've been seeing more and more stories that are related to A, what type of job loss is happening? B, where people are now pursuing degrees and what they're pursuing for profession as opposed to what they were previously pursuing. And I say previously by what they were looking at 2 years ago. And the last part of it is what type of study, if you're going for study, is becoming more, more important than traditional. And so when it comes to the job loss, I mean, we kind of talked about this earlier this week. It's happening in a very particular sector. There was tremendous job loss due to AI, and no one is talking about it. And if you actually believe that bullshit number of, oh, it was only 26,000 jobs, you're bullshitting yourself. You're just buying into it. The actual math behind it, I think it was something close to like 200,000 of the jobs that were lost last month. Or yeah, just last month. Or no, this past quarter, I'm sorry. So 200,000 of jobs lost last quarter, AI related in some way. Either through like, and that's the thing, is everywhere, everything everywhere all at once. So it doesn't matter if it was an AI robot, doesn't matter if it was an AI system, doesn't matter if it was some automated thing. It's AI in some way that ended up liquidating the job, right? And then I look at what people are trying to do, what younger people are trying to do to counter it. And I keep hearing this like really bullshit line of like trade work. Oh, they're going back. They're doing what Mike Rowe said. They're going back to trade work. They're going to be like plumbers and electricians and stuff. It's like, oh man, really? Like you're going backward. Like this technology is meant to take over the work that people don't want to do, so that you can go on and do something better. And even though we don't know what the better is yet, we'll figure it out. We'll find it out. We'll think about it, and then we'll start doing it. It's what we always do. Right. So it's the economies of scale are going to change dramatically. Looking at that NBA ad, right, that was played, it was like cost them $4,000 or something to do it over like 2 days, or like maybe $2,000, I think. I don't know. It was either way, it cost less than 10 for an NBA finals ad. Okay. So if you're a, if you're like a content production company, what's happening right now is you're able to produce your quality of content at a much higher rate so you can garner a greater amount of pie. At some point, though, so you all know, at some point, especially like even right now, everyone will have the capability to produce that level of content for such a minuscule amount of money that it won't matter that your giant firm can do it. It just won't. Your level of skill with creating it, none of that will matter. All the stuff that you're doing now is just calculated training material. That's at the end of the day. That's what it'll become, right? And I say that only to get to what Chris is talking about, which is that this whole hourly scale of shit, we're now dealing with efficiency machines. That's all they know how to do is make things better, make things faster, make things easier, and not take as much time. So, I don't know. Like, really, realistically, figure out what the value is of the, figure out what the worth is. I wish I could remember the dude's name. It's a motivational speaker. Not really a motivational speaker. He actually teaches people how to speak. At one point, somebody had asked him about business model, and they said, I don't know whether to charge somebody hourly or whether to charge someone per project. And so he said, okay, well, what if I told you that we're doing whatever the project is, and I'm going to charge you $3,000 for the project? And the guy's like, well, how long is it going to take? And he's like, I don't know how long it's going to take, but it's going to cost you $3,000. He's like, well, you know, I don't know that I want it. He's like, okay, now I'm going to charge you hourly. I'm going to charge you $100 an hour. Okay, but and we'll see, like, how many hours do you want? And whatever, however many hours you want, that's the quality that you're going to get. And the guy's like, well, you know, I want it to be higher quality. He's like, well, then it's going to cost more hours. Yeah. Right? And so all of a sudden you're in this back and forth BS where you're arguing over price and hours, whereas if you had just paid me the value of what my work was worth, the time is irrelevant. the end product is going to be what you want it to be, right? That's the way it's going to work go forward. It's not going to be about, you know, I was just talking about this with my brother yesterday. Hollywood, you's in trouble. Genie 3, video games, you in trouble. Like,
yeah. Ready Player Genie 1, 3, next year. It's,
we're talking about like real-time world building. Real-time. Yeah.
And we should show that tomorrow. We're gonna wrap for today.
I'm sorry, George. I apologize, George Casey. I'm so sorry. It is my fault every day.
All good. So we'll see you back tomorrow. We'll show off Genie 3. It's pretty amazing. And until then, everybody have a great Wednesday. Thanks so much.
See y'all.